Mahat Sangama Mahatyam Evaita Paramadabhutam Vitardo Yena Viprosam Sadyo Bhutat Sarupavat. Such are the most amazing glories of contact with a great saint. By that contact, this Brahmana suddenly achieved perfection, realizing his eternal identity.
This is the 7th chapter.
This is Brihat Bhagavatamrita, 7th chapter, Jagadananda, the Bliss of the Worlds, text number 14. Such are the most amazing glories of contact with a great saint.
This is all Sanatana Goswami.
Yeah. By that contact, this Brahmana suddenly achieved perfection, realizing his eternal identity. Commentary. Usually, only the Lord's most qualified devotees attain pure love of God after long endeavor for the Lord's special mercy. How then could this Brahmana have achieved prema so quickly? Only by coming in contact with a powerful saint. The Brahmana's own efforts alone would have been of no avail. His success was possible by the unique glories of Vaishnava association, incomprehensible to material minds. Mm. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.23.55, Sri Devahuti remarks, Sango yat samsriter hitur asatsu vihito diya sa eva sadushu pito nisangaraya kalpate. Association to gratify the senses is certainly the path of bondage, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation.
I know that first, but
even
I know
if it, performed without knowledge.
I know it differently.
Huh?
I know it, but I think it's different in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, go ahead.
When an ignorant person mixes with other degraded persons, the result is entanglement in material existence, in the enjoyment of food, drink, sex, and so on. But the company of pure souls, even if entered into with the same ignorance, enables one to become nisanga, free in two ways, detached from matter and uplifted to pure love of God. Prema is a form of detachment because it shuns all pursuits other than the attempt to please the personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated in Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, sada santo bigantavya.
Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, that's interesting. Mm. That means it must be bona fide. At least yeah. That part of it.
Sada santo bigantavya yadyapi upadishan upadishantina ya hi swaira katastesham upadesha bhavanti yate shunyam apurnatam eti riti apyamrita yate apat sampad ivabhati vidvaj san janasamagamat. In all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons, even if one receives no teachings. Spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons.
Huh.
When one approaches persons who have
That's
no real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness. Death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. What a nice verse.
Yeah, even casual conversation.
Yeah, yeah. That's the same thing, the point you were making before, that we our favorite things to do are to sit down and listen to Prabhupada, just talk about his past. And
yeah, just the sound vibration.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.19, Sri Vidura says, Yat sevaya bhagavata kutastasya madhu dvishaha rati raso babeti vra padayor yasenardhanaha. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one develops transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Vidura here speaks to his Shiksha guru, Maitreya Muni. By serving Maitreya, Vidura expects to obtain the service of the Supreme Lord, who is difficult to understand, but whom one can approach by serving his pure devotees. The Supreme Person is Kutastha, which means both unchanging and inconceivable. He is also called Kutastha in the sense that he is famous for being offered Anakuta, a mountain of food, while standing on a special peak, that of Govardhan. At the lotus feet of Krishna, the enemy of the demon Madhu, a sincere servant of the Vaishnavas can obtain Rati Rasa, a never-ending festival of prema, from which comes an enjoyment so intense, tibra, that nothing can impede or interrupt it.
See, this is a 25-page purport, so that's why I'm putting these as appendix.
Yeah.
Because then it really, the person, by the time they finished it, they forgot what the actual verse was and what the theme they were reading.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Material existence is full of various miseries, but devotional service at Lord Krishna's lotus feet, padayo, eradicates them all. Vyasanardanaha. Or, if we take padayo to modify vyasanardana, the meaning of the two words together is that which destroys the pain felt by the feet. Krishna's Rasa Lila is mostly a festival of dancing, and dancing means moving the feet. By entering the Rasa dance, one's feet will be relieved of the distress they feel from doing other things. And that applies also to the section you're doing on the Pariyatra, the Parikrama. As Sri Kapilades tells his mother, Sitam prasangan mama miryasam vido, bhavanti vit karna rasayana kataha, taj joshanat asha bhavarga varkvanin, shadha vatir bhaktiranu kamishati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. By cultivating knowledge of the Lord's activities, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter one is freed and one's attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Bhagavatam 3:25-25. Here Lord Kapiladev mentions three symptoms of the gradual development of prema: firm conviction, shraddha, love for the Lord, rati, and unswerving dedication to his service, bhakti. In the course of devotional advancement, each of these symptoms becomes manifest naturally, without separate endeavor. Lord Kapiladev does not intend to say that the sequence of development is literally shraddha, then rati, and then bhakti. Rather, we should understand that first a new devotee acquires faith, shraddha, then takes up the process of bhakti by hearing, chanting, and serving, and later achieves rati. Because bhakti means both the practice of devotional service and the mature stage of spontaneous love, to say that rati prema is the fruit of bhakti is correct. This brings up a point I wanted to discuss with you about the book, and that is that sometimes when we use these terms, unless we qualify them sufficiently, they can be mistaken for other, the same word can be mistaken for something else unless we contextualize it. That's why I'm working over that file that talks a lot about vibhav and bhav and udipan and all these terms, and I'm translating them like we did in Śrīla Bhakti-cintāmani into a phrase phrases that actually fit into the sentence.
Correct.
I'm doing that for your pleasure. With this same concept of bhakti in mind, Sri Dhruva prays to Lord Vishnu, Bhaktim muhu prabhatam twahime prasango bhuyat ananta mahatam amala shanaya shayanam yenan jasho banamuru vyasanam bhavadnim neshe bhavad gunakatam ritapana mataha. O unlimited Lord, kindly bless me so that I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly as the waves of a river constantly flow. Such transcendental devotees are completely situated in an uncontaminated state of life. By the process of devotional service, surely I will be able to cross the nascent ocean of material existence, which is filled with the waves of blazing, fire-like dangers. It will be very easy for me, for I am becoming mad to hear about your transcendental qualities and pastimes, which are eternally existent. Bhagavatam 4:9-11. Because the devotees of Vishnu serve him constantly, bhaktin, mohu, prabhatam, their hearts are completely pure, amala shana shayanam. And for that reason they are exalted souls, mahatam. The association of such Vaishnavas is extremely desirable, One who achieves it need not bother aspiring for the fourth goal of life, liberation. For liberation comes automatically as a byproduct of pure devotion. Dhruva anticipates that in the company of Vaishnavas, he will drink the nectar of topics about the Supreme Lord, which will intoxicate him and empower him to cross effortlessly the dangerous ocean of samsara. Drunkards are mainly interested in the taste of their liquor.
I remember this.
They have only a superficial interest in the secondary effects of alcohol, such as its ability to ease the discomfort of cold weather. In the same way, devotees who have a taste for drinking the nectar of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad Bhakti consider relishing that elixir forever their principal goal. They accept liberation and other secondary benefits only when such boons do not obstruct that eternal delight.
Hmm.
In Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24, 57, and 58, Lord Shiva gives this opinion. Chenar dinapitulaye nasvargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishaha atanughang gresh tavakirti tirtayor antar bihis nanividuta papanam Uteshwaru Krosh Anukrosha Susatva Shilinim Shilinam Syat Sangamo Nu Graha Esh Nastava. If one by chance associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, one is no longer subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana. What interest then can he have in the benedictions of the demigods, who are subject to the laws of birth and death? My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me with the association of your devotees, who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. Rather than liberation, what to speak of royal power and the other kinds of success that ordinary people value? Lord Shiva would prefer even a moment's association with those who keep company with the personality of Godhead. In other words, the company of the Supreme Lord's devotees dances on the heads of all other goals of life. The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who killed the demon named Agha, remove all sin. The Lord's fame is the source of all holy tirthas, including the river Ganga and also the river Yamuna, whose bathing ghats and gopis approach to fetch water.
So that, wait, read that again.
The Lord's fame is the source of all holy tirthas, including the river Ganga and also the river Yamuna, whose bathing ghats the gopis approach to fetch water. Lord Shiva takes two purifying baths, one externally in the Ganga and the other internally in the Yamuna. Similarly, a bath in the Supreme Lord's fame purifies his devotees in two ways: externally, by absolving them from hellish punishment, and internally, by cleansing their hearts of desires for material enjoyment. Persons dedicated to the fame of the Supreme Lord and to his lotus feet are merciful to all creatures. Such devotees always live purely, devoid of lust and other contaminations of the heart, and they have simplicity and all other exemplary qualities. Lord Shiva prays that Lord Vishnu's greatest mercy on him would be simply to let him come in touch with the Supreme Lord's devotees. In the fifth canto, 5.12.12.13, Sri Jad Bharat speaks likewise. Rahu ganai tat tapasa nijati na chej jaya nir bhavanad vihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suraya vina mahat paradosho vishekam. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, by strictly following the rules and regulations of household or life, by leaving home as a vanaprastha, by accepting sannyas, or by undergoing severe penances in winter, by keeping oneself submerged in water, or in summer, by surrounding oneself by fire in the scorching heat of the sun. There are many processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is revealed only to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Yatro dhamma shloka guna anuvadaha prastu yate gramyakata vigata nishevyamano nudinam mamukshor matim shatim yat chativasu deve. We'll just finish this paragraph. Who are the pure devotees mentioned here? In an assembly of pure devotees, there is no question of discussing material subjects like politics and sociology. In an assembly of pure devotees, there is discussion only of the qualities, forms, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised and worshipped with full attention. In the association of pure devotees, by constantly hearing such topics respectfully, even a person who wants to merge into the existence of the Absolute Truth abandons this idea and gradually becomes attached to the service of Vasudev. In the verse just before the two quoted here, Judd Bart identified the Absolute Truth as Bhagawan, the personality of Godhead, and as Vasudev, the darling son of Vasudev. Now he tells King Ruhugana that this Supreme Person is impossible to achieve by any of the usual methods of spiritual advancement, unless, along with those methods, one bathes in the dust from the feet of pure Vaishnavas. It is not enough to follow the prescribed duties of one's varna and ashram, concentrate one's mind in one-pointed tapas, execute Vedic sacrifices, distribute food and other charity, work piously as a householder, study the Vedas, or worship water, fire, the other elements of nature, and the presiding deities, Varuna, Agni, and so on. These efforts may help one achieve the favor of Lord Vasudev only when the sadhaka has also pleased the Lord's devotees. And by satisfying the devotees, one can win the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even if one has not performed any of these purifying acts. Lord Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka, he whose spotless fame drives away all ignorance. When one is bathed in the dust of the feet of his devotees, one can enter the company of those devotees and hear from them about Krishna's transcendental qualities, beginning with his incessant kindness toward his devotees. Hearing day after day this pure Krishna katha raises a materialist to the level of an aspirant for liberation, and such an aspirant to the level of sincere interest in devotional service to Krishna. In the same narration, Ruhugana replies to Judd Bart, Aho ni janma kila janma shobanam kim janma vis tvaparaya apyamushmin na yad vishi kesha yashakritatmanam mahatmanam bak pachurasamagmagamaha. This birth as a human being on earth is the best of all. Even birth among the demigods and the heavenly planets is not as glorious. What is the use of the exalted position of a demigod in the heavenly planets due to profuse material comforts? There is no possibility of associating with devotees. Bhagavatam 5:13-21.
Should we continue tomorrow?
Just